Now, with just 20 full-length episodes, I'm going to start again, you know.
The Lord is my
absolutely seamless, this show, you know. With 20 full-length episodes, Richard Curtis's Vicar of Dibley is still being repeated constantly on TV over 20 years after Geraldine Granger first arrived as the new vicar in the fictional Oxfordshire village. And next month it's coming to the stage, courtesy of the Thurrock Court Players. And to tell us more about this, I'm joined by director Martin Williams. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Apart from forgetting what I was planning to do. You sort of spend ages thinking, oh, that would be great to play the music. But anyway, I don't think anybody knows.
Perfect introduction.
Listen, Martin, bringing such a successful TV series to the stage seems to be quite an ambitious thing to do. I'm keen to find out how close to the original you're planning on making that. Before we talk about that, mm-hmm. though, just tell us briefly about the history of the Thurrock Court Players, because you've got quite a past, haven't you?
It goes way back, actually. It goes back to the year of my birth, so that's a bit of a giveaway how old I am. But Thurrock Courts, we started as a company. Thurrock Players were first formed in 1954 by a group of local teachers. When they lost their venue at the old Bridge Road School in Grays, they joined forces with the drama company at the then Ockenden Courts School. And so they renamed themselves the Thurrock Courts Players. They performed at that school until 1970, when the Thameside Theatre opened. And they moved in there and presented the theatre's first play there, The Love of Four Colonels. And we've been there ever since, in effect, the resident drama group, producing three plays a year. And we run the Thurrock Drama Festival as well. And we're, of course, a member of the overall umbrella organisation, Thurrock Arts Council.
Is it one particular style of play and production you tend to put on, or do you do a whole variety?
No. We try to produce as wide a range of play types, performance types as we can. It's part of our obligation, if you like, under the Thurrock Arts Council, to bring as wide a range of theatre to the people of Thurrock as we possibly can. For example, last October we produced our very first panto, and I have to say we wondered how our audiences might see us, but we needn't have worried, because the feedback we've been getting is all positive, and they're even asking when the next one's going to be.
Oh no, they're not.
Oh yes, they are. Oh no, don't start that. We've only just got over that.
And you've won a few awards as well, haven't you, as a group?
Yeah, we're a festival-winning company. It's always a pleasure to take your productions to different venues in the country. We've done Felixstowe, Blackburn, when we did the All England finals. And I, along with Vic and a colleague who sadly is no longer with us, we go way back to the beginning of Courts Players. We actually did the Edinburgh Festival last year. The year before last, I beg your pardon, we did, it was a new short, dark comedy called Safe, and it was written by Luke Colden. The young Luke Colden, I'll have to say that, because he won't want to be called old. And we took it there for a week. It was great fun, but we were the oldest actor group there, apparently. People were telling us that, myself, Vic and John. But it must have been
amazing to be involved in that, though.
It's the most incredible atmosphere in Edinburgh. I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
It must be absolutely brilliant. To my shame, I've never been, but must get up there sometime. It sounds absolutely wonderful. Now, next month, you're putting on The Vicar of Dibley, as we've been saying. It's not the first time you've done a TV sitcom, is it?
No. There is a demand out there, and as I said, in terms of our remit as a performing company, we think it's absolutely legitimate to do this kind of production. It's fun, it's popular. In the past, we've done Hello, Hello, Heidi High, and Dad's Army.
All very well-loved shows as well, so it must be a very, very challenging thing to do. But you know that you can do it. That's the important thing.
Yes.
And with the TV series being so well-known, I mean, one of the reasons people love it is the strong characters.
Yes.
And they're associated with those particular actors. And I guess when you create a TV series, quite often you do adapt the character around the actor as a script writer, or sometimes the actor will sort of put their own a take on that and influence the way it goes. So for you to come in as a theatre group with... obviously with your own actors, that must be quite a challenge.
We accept that there's going to be a high expectation on the part of the audience, and that's our starting point. There's no point in trying to produce something that's so well known and so well loved in a different way. People want to see you get as close as you can to those iconic characters that have been created by that wonderful group of actors. And that's what we try very, very hard to achieve. And I can say, I know I'm the director of this show, but I'm not on stage with them, wish I was. But I'm, even at this stage in rehearsals, I'm really proud of the way that they're performing. I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed that comes to see these performances.
Brilliant stuff. We were talking off air, weren't we, about whether there might be anybody who's never seen The Vicar of Dibley, or perhaps doesn't know what it's about. I don't know. There might well be. In a sentence, what's it about?
Well, they must have been living on an island somewhere in the middle of the Pacific, I reckon. But just for that one person in the middle of the Pacific, if you can hear me. Vicar of Dibley is the quintessential beautiful little Oxford village. With its church and its own little social hierarchy, not a closed community, but a very tight-knit community. And into this community comes a brand new lady vicar, and with the old established attitudes, that causes some degree, a little degree of upset, and she obviously needs to become accepted by everybody in the community. And the series tracks her comedic efforts, delightful efforts to get accepted, sort of break down these prejudices, if you like. And in the meantime, you're introduced to this wonderful range of some of them dotty characters that inhabit this wonderful village.
Mostly dotty characters.
Mostly
aren't
dotty,
they?
Yes.
And it was 1994, wasn't it, when it first came
it was.
To TV, which
yeah,
was
right.
Which was when we had the very first female clergy in the Church of England. So it was quite a thing at the time, wasn't it? And here we are 20 odd years later, and it's still being sort of shown constantly.
I think it's going in the right direction. It's still going. It is going in the right direction. So.
I think you're absolutely right, Martin. We need to take a break there. Very keen to chat some more about Dibley and how you're going to be doing it, and just one or two of the favourite bits. Want to know if they're in your production as well, without giving too much away, because we do want people to come along and see it. Obviously, also you are looking ahead to your autumn production already, which is another classic TV comedy. So you can tell us a little bit about that as well, and all of that to come in just a moment.
Phoenix FM.
Martin, we were talking about the fact you've done some of the sitcoms before, and that your approach is very much to replicate the way that the actors in the original TV series took it on. I mean, I guess some of that is to do with copyright issues as well, and needing to stick pretty closely to the script as well.
You're absolutely right. It's a combined thing, really. As I said earlier, there is an audience expectation, and if you were to completely turn it on its head, I don't see what the point would be. You know, you're working with a model that is successful. It's, you know, it's been taken into people's hearts. They love it. They're very affectionate towards it. And our challenge is to, in terms of live performance, to get as close as we can to that. For the audience's delight.
So how did you actually go about sort of looking at who you've got in the company and looking at the actors in Dibley in this case and actually sort of marry the two up and go about casting it? We're talking about Mike Jones, our 1-2-3 presenter on a Wednesday, on a Thursday rather. He's on the Friday. I get so we have so many different presenters doing that show on Phoenix, I get confused. But Mike Jones, he's in the production, and you've obviously got to have all the characters there. How do you go about casting that?
Basically, we're fortunate to have a company membership of about 38 to 40 members, acting members, and within the company, it's an open audition for members of Thurrock Quartz players. We know what play we're doing, if it was Dad's, when we're looking at a look-alike, sound-alike. And really, the challenge is for every member to have a look at the script, get familiar with it, familiarise themselves with the programme if they're not already familiar with it. And quite simply, in audition, to convince the director, who happens to be me this time, that, you know, this is my this is what my performance will be. I would, as any director would, will have selected audition pieces, and then you try and mix and match. It can be quite a tense process for all concerned, not least of all the director, because you've got 38 pairs of eyes looking at you afterwards. Well, who's got what?
And Mike is playing
Owen.
Had to be, didn't it?
It had to be. It had to be, yes, yes. He's doing a quite sterling job.
Quite an outrageous character. Talking yes. about Owen, not well, I'm talking about Mike as well, really. What about Mrs. Cropley? Because she was fantastic with all her culinary creations, and they actually killed her off, didn't they?
I know.
Beautiful Liz Smith, wonderful actress.
I know. She seems to have a habit of this. I don't know whether it's something to do with her and the director she works with. Say, all right, we'll kill your character off now.
But she's resurrected.
But she's a darling. She's a wonderful, warm character, and she does... She's able to capture these slightly dotty characters, and of course Letitia Cropley is legend for her strange recipes, which do feature in this production, in this script.
Fantastic. So it's obviously, as you have to stick pretty closely to the script. Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of the storylines from the show appear in the TV series. It's like a compendium of various episodes, is it?
I can best describe it as it's a stage play written by Ian Gower and Paul Carpenter. But it's an adaptation from the TV series written by Richard Curtis, Ian Gower and Paul Mayhew Archer. And it's out there by kind permission of Tiger Aspect Productions. And it was first presented, it's quite recent, first presented by Tring Festival Company at the Court Theatre Tring Hearts in March 2011. And what it is, it's a distillation of the scripts from series 1 and 2, so that it is the actual dialogue. And focuses on the arrival of Geraldine in Dibley, her efforts to get accepted, and also to sort out the thwarted love for each other that Hugo and Alice have, culminating in the wedding scene at the end of Act 2. And of course, revolving all around this are the wonderful characters of David Horton and Jim Trott, Owen Newitt,
Letitia No.
Yeah, that's right, yes. That's our acting colleague Dave Carey, and we're... really, really enjoying his performance in rehearsal, so we're spoiled.
You're having a lot of fun with
this.
We
are.
A lot of hard work, I can imagine, but a lot of fun.
If they weren't achieving, we wouldn't be. And so that's a mark of... I mean, I can stand back objectively and saying these guys are really nailing it, really nailing it.
Martin, talking of Hugo and Alice, one of my favourite scenes was when the vicar tried to get them to kiss.
Oh, it's there.
And they just wanted to shake hands.
Yeah, I know, it's wonderful.
Do they actually get there, do they?
They do, yes, yes. And it lasts through the interval as well.
And what about the jokes? We were talking earlier on, Victoria got in touch with us and was saying she loves the jokes at the end of the episodes. Are you able to bring those in as well?
Yes, we have some of those. It's a little difficult to describe over the radio, I suppose, but the set is divided into four areas. So you've got the church far stage left with the organ. You've then got the parish hall, one half of the main stage. The other half is Geraldine's lounge. And then stage right, just in front of the proscenium arch, is the vestry, where we do get some jokes between Alice and Geraldine.
I'm not going to say any more than that. But you did tell me off air that there was one of them that... it wasn't one of the jokes, but it was actually... It was a dialogue, a very complicated dialogue between Alice and Geraldine. That was absolutely fantastic.
We got young Louise, and I have to say, she got a round of applause in rehearsal when she got through it the first time. She just went for it. It was like the Beecher's Brook of acting, let alone this play. When you read it as I said to you off when we were chatting, when you read it, it makes sense. But when you hear it, it leaves your head spinning. But it does make sense, and she's nailed it, bless her, and it's lovely.
If you're listening and wondering what on earth we're talking about, then you've got to get along there, because that is going to be worth seeing and hearing just in itself. Martin, I know you're a big fan of the TV series yourself. Have you got any favourite episodes, any favourite stories from the TV series that you're recreating in your production?
Yeah, apart from the jokes in the vestry and the butter speech, we've got the best man's practice speech.
I don't remember that.
With Jim. No, in you.
Oh, yes. I do remember that.
Oh, yes. And then we've also got the Great Storm debate.
This was the... was this the one with the window?
Yes, that's extracted from
that one.
Yeah, yeah. Those are some of the moments, but of course you can imagine, particularly in the series 1 and 2, you've got some of the wonderful moments in the parish council. A lot of the action takes place around the table.
It was very formulaic, wasn't it?
Very much so. Very much so.
Each episode used to start, I think, with...
parish council meeting, nearly always. Meeting. Yes, yeah. That's right. That's right,
yeah.
Yes.
And normally somebody... Owen was normally late, wasn't he?
For various
reasons, which we won't go into in case anybody's having their breakfast.
No, indeed.
Look, I could chat with you all day about the Vicar of Dibley. Tell us when and where it's on.
It's on at the Thameside Theatre. It's the 12th to the 14th of February, just in a couple of weeks' time. Curtain up is 7:45 p.m. But, and I need to push this, because of the demand for tickets, we're doing a matinee, a Saturday matinee.
Oh, right.
And that starts at 2:15. Now, all the tickets are £12 with concessions at £10. Can I also just say that our performance licence fees actually go to Comic Relief, which happens to be on TV the Friday evening performance that we're doing. So you can salve your consciences, everybody. If you're coming to the Friday evening, part of your ticket money is actually going to Comic Relief.
Comic Relief as well. Yeah. And I think it's very appropriate that your final day is Valentine's Day.
Yes.
With Hugo and Alice.
How appropriate.
That couldn't be better.
It's a very sweet moment.
Martin, we're running out of time, but just very quickly, I know you're already thinking ahead to your next production in the autumn. It's another TV comedy.
Absolutely. We've had permission from the relevant script writers and production companies, and young Luke Coldham, who wrote the dark comedy Safe, which we took to Edinburgh, he's got permission, he's produced a script of Blackadder, and we're doing an episode from each of the three periods, so it's Tudor, Regency and World War One.
Brilliant. And I guess you haven't sort of started casting that yet.
Not yet, no.
What about new members of the company? If anybody's thinking, well, wow, I'd love to sort of audition for Blackadder. Yep.
If you've had previous experience, if you want to come along and see how we work, who we are, we're at the Grays Adult Education Centre in Bridge Road in Grays. We rehearse on a Monday and a Thursday evening. And you can just come along. Just introduce yourself, and at the moment we've got 40 people on the books, we're moving into a different phase where we want to expand the range of productions that we're doing. So in order to accommodate the acting membership that we've got, but please, if you're interested, do come along and have a coffee, watch what we're doing. Hopefully you'll like what you see, and then you'll be able to, at some stage, if you wish to, ask to audition to join the company.
Fantastic. Martin, it's been an absolute pleasure to meet you. I'm certainly going to try and get along and see the Vicar of Dibley. I love the TV series, and I just got to come along and see Mike Jones as Owen and see how he...
So is everybody else.
How he does that one. Fantastic.
Yes.
And also to see Mrs. Cropley again. I think that that will be very nice. I know you're very busy. Thank you so much for taking the time to pop in and see me this morning.
Pleasure.